This is the sound of Zhluti Pes, a band led for almost 30 years by the multifaceted André Hema. He studied English and Chinese before becoming Prague correspondent of the Associated Press in 1987. On top of that, Hema has, among many other things, been a judge on a popular TV talent show. Like a number of prominent figures, he's also been accused of collaboration with the STB secret police, an allegation he denies. When I met André Hema at AP's office on Národní, the conversation began with his native Prague 6. The area was something of a hotbed of rock music when he was growing up.
Prague 6 always, David's, was a place where, for some reason, were very talented people in all kinds of art, including music, and of course that helped me. But I started late in bands and in active musicianship. I started later than that, in early 70s.
You formed Zhluti Pes in 1978, I believe.
That's right.
What was it like in those days getting gigs, and was it hard to go places?
It was not terribly difficult to find a place to play, but play for free. That was the style of the era. If you wanted to play for money, you would have to apply for license, and that entailed various conditions and problems. So playing for money was difficult. Playing for free was easy, and it always is.
And what did you do for money in those days? What was your day job in the 70s?
Well, the convenient thing was that I have graduated from college, from the university. I spoke decent English, so I never had problems finding jobs, translating. And it was good that it was a freelance job, and you could spend your free time with music, make a little money translating, so you were fairly independent and didn't have to push music for money.
And I guess 20 years ago, you started working here at AP, possibly in different offices, but for the American agency Associated Press. How did that come about?
I had a friend who still works, I believe, for the Japanese daily Yomiuri Shimbun. And he was a classmate of mine. He studied Japanese when I was studying Chinese. And he told me that AP was looking for somebody in the late 80s to work for them here. So I applied, and that's how I got the job.
Was it common in those days, under communism, for foreign agencies to have their own people on the ground here?
It was not a common job, I must tell you that. But yes, all the agencies, major agencies, had their person here, except, I believe, Reuters. But the French AFP, German DPA, AP always had a person here since the 60s.
I don't like to be indelicate, but was it the case?
You will.
But was it the case that the communists approached you, or rather, was it the case that the communist STB approached you to work with them?
Of course. They first approached me in 1970, I believe, when I had nothing to do with the AP. This was a standard thing happening to everyone who spoke a different language, who had contact, so it became a natural target.
And what did they ask of you? What did you do? And how do you look back on those days?
I didn't do anything for them, really. We drank a lot of beer.
And back to journalism, was the revolution a highlight of your career in 1989 when the Velvet Revolution happened here, actually outside on the street here where we're sitting now?
Highlights, yes, in many ways, especially from the professional point of view, because as you can understand, the late 80s were slow in terms of journalism, nothing really happening. The revolution was a huge story, a global story, and that's when you finally, eventually, learn about journalism.
Is it the case that then nothing was happening in the 80s? In the early 90s, lots of things were happening, and now Prague has again become less interesting for the world's media?
Pretty much so, I must say. Although it's not quite the same, it's not comparable to the 80s. But you're right that this is not a front-page story now, as it was during the time of the revolution. But there are nice little things like the championship in Sudoku, probably worth covering, and a big story is the financial story.
Moving on to some other of your activities, a couple of years ago you became one of the judges on the Czech version of Pop Idol. How did that come about, and how did you enjoy the experience?
I was approached by the television, which was looking for new faces, paradoxically. I was almost 50 then when I was discovered as a new face. I accepted it right away because I knew about the English version of Pop Idol, and I liked it very much. And it was a very, very exciting experience. I loved it.
What was so great about it?
Oh, it was new. It was new, and it was the first thing bordering on a reality show. It was about music, which I like, and it was like a fascinating play in which the individual characters emerged from being nobodies into actual stars. It was just magic.
Did you ever fear that your public profile might get too big and you might get some abuse, say, on the street for giving some would-be pop star a hard time?
I never worried about my public profile too much. And no, I must say that from what people tell you in the street, because they loved the show, they were always very friendly. And in terms of losing credit as a rock musician, no, I never considered myself orthodox this or that. I just like music, that's all.
I understand also you're a passionate golfer. How did you get into that?
My friends, journalists, sports journalists, picked up golf in the early 90s, like so many other Czechs, when it was actually possible. And because I like sports of all kinds and ball games especially, golf was immediately attractive. And another reason is that I actually live between two golf courses, so it's very conveniently located as well. I like it, and that's what I do in my free time now.
Who plays golf in the Czech Republic? Is it the preserve of the rich, or is it more popular now?
Of course, you could say that it is a sport for managers, for businessmen, professionals of all kinds. But it's increasingly also becoming a sport for just people who like ball games like me. And of course, it has a reputation of being a snobbish sport, an expensive sport. But I always argue this is not so. The example I give is downhill skiing, which is a very popular sport here. Anybody can do it. It's not limited to a privileged part of the society. And I believe that downhill skiing is just as expensive as golf these days. So if you want it, you can do it.
I've got a list here of some of your activities. You're a band leader, you've done advertising, copywriting, journalist, of course, TV and radio presenter, you've acted, you were a talent show judge, translator, interpreter. How do you find time for all these things, and what would you define yourself as if you were forced to put it into a word?
Curious, I guess. And in spite of the huge list of things that I have done, I would think of myself as a rather lazy person, and the whole trick is that you take up different things, and you don't stick with just one, and you try new things in life, and then the list gets longer.
Vzpomínám, když tehda před léty začaly lítat rakety, zdál se to být docela dobrý na...